Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to dig into Aisha Tierney Armstrong's Productize, the ultimate guide to turning professional services into scalable products.
Yeah, this one is a must read for anyone who's ever felt like, you know, they're stuck trading time for money, which, let's be real, is a lot of us in the professional services world.
It's about ditching that billable hours hamster wheel and turning your expertise, that secret sauce that makes you, into something that truly scales.
Absolutely. Think beyond one-to-one client work and imagine your knowledge reaching a wider audience, having a bigger impact, you know? And of course, unlocking new levels of revenue.
Music to our ears. So have you ever felt like that? Like you're hitting a ceiling because there are only so many hours in a day?
All the time. And it's not just individual professionals. We've seen it time and time again with established professional services firms, too. Their growth is directly tied to how many hours they can bill, which, as we know, is a finite resource.
It's the classic, can't work any harder, but I know we could be doing more dilemma. So the book dives right into this, what Armstrong calls the productization imperative, and kicks things off with this story about Jim Price. He's the CEO of this successful creative agency, Empower, right? And even though things are going great, business is booming, he has this realization.
Which is?
They need to explore new revenue streams.
That's so interesting, right? Because it highlights how even established, successful firms can benefit from productization. It's not just for startups or businesses that are like struggling to stay afloat.
Exactly. It's like everyone's always talking about innovate or die, but this book makes it way more actionable and less doom and gloom.
Definitely. And what I really appreciated was that the book doesn't just talk about the why of productization. It lays out these 7 deadly productization mistakes. And let me tell you, they are surprisingly common.
Ooh, I love a good cautionary tale. It's almost comforting to know that even seasoned professionals stumble. So give us a lowdown. What's the first mistake we absolutely need to avoid?
The very first one, and perhaps the most critical, is focusing on processes before people.
Okay, so more about that.
So we often get so caught up in the systems and the logistics of productization that we forget about the human element, the people who are actually going to be doing the work, using the product, all of that.
It's like trying to build a house without a solid foundation. You can have the fanciest blueprints, the most expensive materials, but if the ground beneath is unstable,
the whole thing crumbles.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what can happen if you don't bring your team along on this journey.
Which makes perfect sense, right? You're essentially asking people to think differently about their work, to break free from that traditional client service model. So how does the book recommend, like, actually navigating this cultural shift?
So, to help with this, Armstrong introduces this super practical solution she calls the Productize Pathway.
Ooh, I love a catchy name.
Right. And it's basically a 6-step framework for successfully transitioning to a more, you know, productized business model.
Okay, 6 steps. We can handle that. Let's break it down. Hit me with step one.
Step one is all about creating a product-friendly culture.
What does that even mean?
It means getting your team on board with this whole new direction, you know, fostering a culture that embraces innovation and experimentation, making it crystal clear that this isn't just a passing fad, but a core strategic shift.
Ah, got it. So communication is key here. Transparency, a shared vision, making sure everyone understands the why behind the change. Because let's be real, change can be scary, especially in professional services, where people might have been doing things a certain way for years.
For sure. And that's exactly why this first step is so crucial. It's about laying the groundwork, building trust, and ensuring that everyone feels heard and supported throughout the transition. You know, like, they're not alone in this.
It's like you're creating the safety net for your team as you're asking them to walk this new tightrope with you. So once you've got that solid foundation, what's next on the productized pathway?
The next step is called align.
Align.
And it's all about getting everyone on the same page, strategically.
So we're talking making sure resources are allocated properly, goals are aligned, no more siloed departments with conflicting agendas.
You got it. Align is about securing those critical buy-ins from stakeholders, determining your investment levels, and figuring out how to allocate your resources effectively. You know, time, money, people. It's about setting realistic expectations and making sure your financial and operational plans, you know, they actually support your product goals. This step really resonated with me because, honestly, I've seen so many projects get derailed because teams weren't on the same page about budgets, timelines, even just like what success looks like.
Oof, yeah. Been there, felt that. It's like that moment in a renovation show where they tear down a wall and discover the wiring is all wrong. Complete chaos. So how does the align step help us avoid those kinds of project meltdowns?
Well, a big part of it is establishing clear metrics for success right from the start.
Right, because you can't manage what you don't measure.
Exactly. So how will you measure the performance of your new product? What are your key performance indicators, your KPIs? Getting clear on that upfront can save a lot of headaches down the road.
Totally. But even with all the planning and alignment in the world, there's still that crucial step of actually creating something valuable.
Absolutely. And that's where the third step comes in, defining the problem.
This takes us back to that airline example, right? The one where they were so focused on the flight delays, but realized it was actually the communication around those delays that was the bigger issue.
Exactly. This step is all about digging deeper, you know, really understanding those customer pain points instead of just making assumptions.
Because what we think the problem is, isn't always the real problem.
Right. It's about uncovering the root cause of their frustrations, which might be totally different from what you initially thought.
It's like going to the doctor with a headache and realizing you actually need glasses, not pain meds. You've got to address the underlying issue, not just the symptom. So how do we get to the heart of the problem? What are some practical tips from the book?
Armstrong suggests a multifaceted approach to research. So we're talking customer interviews, surveys, analyzing any existing data you might have. The key is to gather information from a variety of sources and really listen to what your customers are telling you, even if it's not what you are expecting to hear.
Because sometimes those unexpected insights are the most valuable ones. Okay, so let's recap. We've laid the groundwork with our team, aligned our resources, and pinpointed the problem we're trying to solve. This is where things start to get really fun, right? Time to unleash the creativity and actually start building something amazing.
You got it. The fourth step, co-design and develop, is all about collaboration. So think brainstorming sessions, prototyping, gathering feedback, and iterating on your ideas. And here's the key. Your customer is a key partner in this whole process.
I love that. It's so different from how product development used to happen. You know, it used to be like this very siloed, top-down approach where the ideas people came up with a concept and then just kind of tossed it over the wall to the developers to build.
Exactly. This is way more collaborative, way more customer-centric.
Which just makes sense, right? Who knows better what the customer wants than the customer themselves?
Right. And the book has some really practical tips on how to structure these co-creation workshops, build prototypes that actually reflect your vision, and gather that valuable feedback throughout the entire development process.
It's like that whole fail fast, fail often mentality, but in a way more structured and customer-focused way.
Exactly. And another thing I thought was interesting was the emphasis on involving the developers early on in the process.
Oh, that's so smart. Because so often it's like the design team comes up with this amazing, beautiful thing, and then the developers are like, we can't actually build that.
Right. So by bringing developers in from the beginning, from those ideation and design phases, you're ensuring that the product vision is both desirable and technically feasible.
It's like bridging that gap between creativity and practicality, right?
Mm.
Making sure those brilliant ideas can actually be brought to life in the real world. Okay, so we've collaborated, we've co-created, we've built something incredible. Now it's time to share it with the world. Cue the confetti cannons.
Almost. We're getting there, but first we have to talk about the fifth step, which is launch boldly.
Launch boldly. Okay, so this is all about like the strategic planning for a successful product launch, right? Because even the most amazing product in the world won't sell itself.
Exactly. This step covers everything from crafting a compelling value proposition like, why should anyone care about your product? To developing that multi-channel marketing plan to make sure you're reaching your target audience wherever they are.
It's like putting on a Broadway show. You've got the script, the actors, the costumes, the set design, but you need a marketing plan to fill those seats and make sure people actually see the masterpiece you've created.
I love that analogy.
Yeah.
Because it really is like a performance in a way. You're putting your product out there for the world to see, and you want to make sure it makes a splash.
For sure. But even after the curtain goes up, even after that big launch, the work isn't over, is it?
Definitely not. The sixth and final step in the productized pathway is manage and iterate.
Okay, so this is where we're tracking our metrics, gathering feedback from real users, and constantly refining and improving our product based on what we're learning.
Yes, this step is all about continuous learning, being adaptable, and embracing the fact that in today's world, a product is never truly finished. It's an ongoing process of improvement and evolution.
It's like that saying, the only constant is change. And in the world of product development, embracing that change and being willing to adapt is absolutely essential for long-term success.
Couldn't agree more. And Armstrong offers some great advice on how to establish that feedback loop with your customers, track your key metrics, see what's working, what's not, and then use all that data to inform your product roadmap.
It's like having a GPS for your product, constantly recalibrating the route based on real-time conditions to make sure you reach your destination, or like maybe even discover a better destination along the way.
I love that because sometimes, you know, you start out thinking you're building one thing, but then through that process of feedback and iteration, it evolves into something even better than you could have imagined.
It's true. And it's so important to be open to that, right? To not be so married to your initial idea that you miss out on those opportunities to make it even better.
100%. So we've covered the 6 steps of the productized pathway, but this book is seriously jam-packed with golden nuggets. One that really stood out to me was this concept of the revenue house.
The revenue house. Okay, I'm intrigued. It sounds kind of like a business fairy tale.
Right. But it's actually a really useful way to visualize your revenue generation strategy. So picture this. A house, okay? The foundation of the house. That represents all the strategic decisions that are like the bedrock of your revenue generation. Mm. Things like defining your target market, being super clear about your value proposition, and, you know, setting those clear revenue goals.
Okay, so it's about establishing that strong base upon which you can actually build your, like, revenue-generating machine.
Exactly. Now, the walls of the revenue house, those represent your core operational functions. So think about your sales processes, your marketing efforts, how you deliver your product or service, all the things that work together to keep that revenue engine humming along.
Got it. It's like the infrastructure that holds everything together, making sure those dollars are flowing smoothly from point A to point B.
Precisely. And then finally, we have the roof of our revenue house. And that represents the systems and tools you're using to track your progress, measure your results, and make those data-driven decisions.
So it's about having that bird's eye view of your revenue generation efforts, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing how everything connects, making sure you're on track to hit your goals.
You nailed it. The revenue house framework is just such a clear, memorable way to think about building a solid financial foundation for your business. And speaking of memorable, another takeaway that really stuck with me was this idea of charter customer advisory boards.
Oh, yes. Tell me more about those.
So you're basically bringing your ideal customers into the fold, not just as buyers, but as collaborators.
And who better to give you feedback on your product than the people who are actually going to be using it? Plus, like we talked about earlier, there's that potential for co-funding, which can be huge, especially in those early stages.
Exactly. It's a win-win. You get those invaluable insights, potentially even some financial support, and your customers feel like they're part of the process.
Yeah.
Shaping a product that truly meets their needs.
It's like that old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
I love that. Yeah. And it's so true. Now, we've talked about frameworks, we've talked about tools, strategies, but there's one more element that I think is absolutely essential to successful productization.
Okay, I'm listening. What is it?
Storytelling.
Ah, the power of story. Never underestimate it.
For real.
Yeah.
Especially when we're talking about something that could be as, you know, complex as professional services. You need to connect with your audience on an emotional level. Make them feel the problem you're solving. Help them see how your product is the answer.
It's about going beyond just listing features and benefits, right? It's about painting a picture of the transformation your product can offer.
Exactly. And Armstrong gives some really solid advice on how to craft those compelling stories, you know, using case studies, testimonials, even personal anecdotes to make your product relatable and engaging.
It's about making people feel something, not just understand something.
Yes, 1,000 times, yes.
Yeah. Well, I think it's safe to say we've covered a lot of ground today. We dug into the why, the what, and the how of productization, explored some super practical frameworks and tools, and even touched on the power of storytelling. And you know what? I'm feeling pretty inspired.
Me too. And I think if our listeners take away just one thing from this deep dive, it should be this. You have something valuable to offer the world. Don't be afraid to share it.
Love it. Turn that expertise into something that scales, reach a wider audience, make a bigger impact. And if you're looking for a roadmap to guide you on that journey, well, we highly recommend checking out Productize, the ultimate guide to turning professional services into scalable products by Aisha Tierney Armstrong. It's a game changer.
Couldn't agree more.
And with that, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the world of productization. As always, thanks for joining us. And remember, if you have a stack of sources that you wouldn't like us to dig into, hit us up on social media at The Deep Dive Pod.
We love hearing from you.
Until next time.